You're listening to KBOO Portland. Coming right up, it's Chris Andre hosting Air Cascadia. Headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, it's Flashpoints, investigative news radio. And at 11 o'clock, stay tuned for The Food Show with host Chris Siegel. We're going to listen to one announcement and then get right to Chris Andre with Air Cascadia.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Samantha Crane and Matthew Malia concert Saturday, August 20th, 7 p.m. at the Mission Theater and Pub in Portland. The show will be a unique blend of storytelling, song, live readings, and collaboration. Samantha will be drawing from her lengthy discography of songs with expansive melodies. Matthew will perform many pieces from the Frontier Ruckus catalog, including B-sides and rarities. Again, that's Samantha Crane and Matthew Malia in concert, Saturday, August 20th, 7 p.m. at the Mission Theater and Pub, 1624 Northwest Gleason Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Cascadia. Today is Wednesday, August 17th, 2016, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, at kboo.fm on the web. We have been following the news coming out of Sacred Stone Camp and at other tribes that are responding. It's a coalition of pipeline fighters who are all responding to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service's revoking of a sovereign land construction permit and then reinstating that permit for the Dakota Access Pipeline through Iowa, Missouri, and the Dakotas. The Sacred Stone Camp is the central point of these efforts, but Standing Rock Sioux, the nation, is, of course, since it's their land, which is one of the major, the major ones that is has been affected and afflicted by this pipeline, which in fact they've already started, even though this issue is still being litigated. The company has just gone ahead and started to lay pipe. It's one of the most egregious instances where a corporation has run amok over not just treaty. Not just treaties, but U.S. law. They have violated pretty much everything there is to violate, and in some cases simply by not even bothering to have, for example, an environmental impact statement. They figure they don't need one. They're somehow above and beyond the law. Before we get into that, we're gonna try to reach Dallas Goldtooth again. He's going to be at Sacred Stone Camp, which is in a remote place, and sometimes the connection is impossible, if not a bit shaky. And we will try and get Dallas on the line. LaDonna Allard also is going to be joining us. She's on the line right now waiting patiently. I want to bring you just some quick news from the Navajo Nation. The Navajo Nation's President Russell Begay, along with Vice President Jonathan Nez and Attorney General Ethel Bratchin and Delegate Tom Chi, announced that the Navajo Nation is suing the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. The lawsuit is a result of an environmental disaster of the spill occurred last August at the Gold King Mine. The lawsuit alleges that the EPA recklessly burrowed into Gold King Mine, which resulted in waste being released into the Animas River, and made its way into the San Juan River that goes through the Navajo Reservation. President Regeer says that the Navajo people have yet to be compensated for the expenses incurred. Yeah, guess who cleaned up this mess? Guess who? Yeah. And loss of revenue suffered by Navajo farmers. Straight from the court filing. Efforts to be made whole over the past year have been met with resistance, delays, and second guessing. That's the EPA ignored warning signs for years. Besides the EPA, the Navajo Nation is suing the contractor, Environmental Restoration, and a number of others in that filing. That going on parallel to what's happening up north in the Dakotas and Missouri and Iowa. So we're going to be talking right now. There's so many other issues going on at a moment. We can't forget what happened, of course, in Milwaukee, another shooting, as well as the epic. They say in Louisiana, the floods are 500 to 1,000 year floods. In other words, they've never seen anything like it before. Just go ahead and say that. It's beyond Katrina. Everyone is standing with slack-jawed horror at what happens when you disturb the balances that nature requires to keep us alive. Nature doesn't, and sometimes is overwhelmed by human folly. And more going on in Jordan Cove. Believe it or not, they're still trying to build an LNG terminal there. And Paul Manafort, you know him from the Trump campaign, has some deep financial connections in the Ukraine. And is it's convoluted and it's almost cinematic in scope. That said, we'll get back to Paul Manafort's story at some point in the future, probably tomorrow, when we try to run up a guest. They're few and far between when it comes to Paul Manafort and the financial dealings of the Trump campaign. That said, welcome to the KBOO Airways. LaDonna Allard, thank you so much for joining us at very, very short notice today.
Well, good morning. It's still morning here, so I hope everybody's having a good day.
We are. Let us know. Are you at Sacred Stone Camp right now? Are you or
No, I am not specifically at the camp. If I was at the camp, I could not be talking.
I was going to say we can't. We wouldn't
they
be
blocked all the cell phones and they blocked all outgoing communication. So right now, Sacred Stone Camp is in a blackout, and so nobody can communicate. So we have to leave the camp in order to talk on cell phones, upload videos, or anything else.
Well, was this a decision on the part of the camp?
It is Dakota Access and the American government.
That's right. Who gave them the authority to shut down communications?
We don't know.
When did that happen?
Yesterday.
So I understand it, there was a meeting, a council meeting at the camp yesterday, and many people were occupied at that meeting. So they took the opportunity to shut everything down. That's what it sounds like happened.
Well, no. They started. Dakota Access started sending drones. They have drones all over above. And every time the drones went along, we lost signal. We couldn't use our phones. And then now they have a plane that continually goes in a circle above us to block all cell phone. And now they've upped it. So now they've cut out all cell phone reception in the area.
Right. So they can go ahead and commit crimes against First Nations. Lock out privacy. That's That's pretty stunning. So other news media outlets, in addition to KBOO, have been trying to get through it and can't. Are we the only one that's doing this? Or how are you getting information out to...
So we do have different media on the ground. We know we have HBO Vice on the ground. We have other media crews that are on the ground, but they shoot, but they have to leave the grounds in order to upload any of their things. And so people are shooting videos and then leaving the campsite to upload their videos and their information. So it comes like an hour or two later, maybe 4 hours later than when the incident happened.
Well, who would you appeal to have this stopped?
So right now, I believe our chairman is in a meeting with Senator Hovind and Senator Heitkamp. In Bismarck, I know that people are calling the governor of North Dakota, and we have people that are trying their best to listen to us.
It sounds very stressful. I really appreciate the fact that you are taking time to talk with us. So war zone.
Yeah, I will say on our part, it's a defender zone. On our part, it's a prayer zone. We have to protect the water. And now we're 5,000 strong and people are coming from everywhere. It's kind of overwhelming to think, oh my God, look at all these amazing Native people that are coming together and standing the ground. But not only that, they're coming together and singing songs and dancing together and laughing together. It is something I never thought I would see in my lifetime, the coming together of the nations.
That is incredible. Tell us more about that, can you?
So we have all kinds of tribes there. We have Onondaga. We have the Mohawks. We have, of course, Oshete Shakoan, Lakota, Dakota, Nakota people, Poncas, Omahas, the Blackfeet. I mean, we have so many tribes there, the Apache, the Diné, and everybody keeps calling and calling and sending. They're sending buses and more troops and people on the ground. And it's like we're able to sit and talk with each other and form allies and alliances again. It's like the rebirth of a nation again.
That's amazing. Well, this is so in character and consistent with First Nations people to take a situation like this, where the water is being contaminated, well, stolen. It's no use to you after they're finished with it, and turning the situation and land too. Some land, I imagine. I was talking to others who said that that traditional lands, very, very spiritual places, places where ancestors are buried. All of this has been, and certainly this will be right in the path of this thing if it goes through, will be destroyed. And there's no way that that can ever be, that crime can never be redressed. So, this is an extraordinary time that all of you are creating. And
So for me, you know, I look at this like, so as Native people on our land, we put our footprint in the land. We put our sacred rocks, our ceremonial rocks, our rock cairns of the burial places, our village sites, all of these sacred areas. And they are our footprint in this land to say we live. And as these people come through and destroy these sacred sites, these burials and traditional cultural properties, they destroy them for a pipeline. And we are saying, when did this happen? When America became ISIS? When did they decide to take out another people's culture? Historic, archaeological, traditional cultural properties. When did they become that? By taking out our footprint to try to say we don't live. We live. We are alive. we are here because our mission in life is to protect the earth and the water. So we stand today to protect the earth and the water.
That is just breathtaking. It's, your words are very, very beautiful, and we feel we would like to do whatever we can to stand in solidarity with you. We want to get this message out to as many people as we can, and we'll try to put together our own gathering here in Cascadia in the Pacific Northwest, and wherever we can reach, wherever we are able to reach out to. You want to tell people what we can do, those of us out here, to be of help to you?
First and foremost, prayer. Prayer is the strongest thing we have as Native people. Pray. Second, if you want to help the camp, we have to feed 5,000 people right now.
Yeah.
We have a GOMI fund / Sacred Stone Camp. We have a legal fund set aside, GOMI fund, legal fund for Sacred Stone Camp, which both are set up to feed the camp, and the other one is to keep people out of jail. As soon as the people get arrested, we try to get up there, get their bonds paid, and get people back on the ground. And so we have a legal fund set up. And so you can also go to our Facebook page, which is No Dakota Access and Treaty Territory Facebook page. And our GOMI funds are on there. Our camp phone is 701-301-2238. That is the Sacred Stone Camp fund. I mean, Sacred Cone Camp phone. I'm tired.
Yeah.
And then the Sacred Stone Camp address, the Sacred Stone.